Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, that's a big face palm. Big face palm by the Missoula Democrats here and the legislative Democrat candidates here in Montana as well. I don't know if you guys have heard this, but they've been virtue signaling on property taxes. By the way, I had a Democrat lawmaker reach out. Hey, can I join you on the show to talk about our property tax plan? I said, yeah, call into the show. Now, if you want to be booked as a guest to be on this show, well, why don't you get the head of the Montana Democrat Party on the show? Why don't you get one of your senior leaders, senior officials, even one of your leaders in the legislature? Why are they afraid to be represented as the leaders of their party? I have Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana GOP, on the show once a month. Why won't the head of the Montana Democrats come on once a month? But yeah, I mean, there's 150 legislators out there. So, hey, you're welcome to call in just like they are. You know what I'm saying? Like, why should you get special perks? But anyway, they've been virtue signaling with their property tax plan. See, Democrats always want to raise your taxes. Democrats voted against the property tax rebates that you got last summer, and in about 1 week will be eligible for another round of property tax rebates. Thank you, Republican supermajority and Governor Greg Gianforte, for that relief. Not only that, but the legislative Democrats voted against income tax rebates as well. But they put this phony little plan together. Oh, we want to deliver property tax relief to Montanans. And they rolled out the same phony shtick. We're just going to raise property taxes on the rich people. Because that never ends up filtering down to everybody else, right? I know, it's so absurd. The point is, especially in the Kamala crash economy that we've got going on right now, why would you raise taxes at all on anybody and further harm the American economy? But that's what legislative Democrats want to do. You know, they always have to tuck in a tax hike there in their so-called plan at some point. But here we go. This is the face palm. Oh, I didn't even hit send on the tweet yet. All right. I was just typing this up here just before the show open rolled there here at 6:06 this morning. Face palm. Montana Democrats announced plans to raise property taxes. Of course, they disguised it as property tax relief. And now this from Missoula County Democrats. All right. Let me post that one there. What I shared was a story from our friend Peter Christian at KGVO News in Missoula. Missoula County asks for 3% increase in property tax. Now, why am I talking about that story right now at 6:09 in the morning? Our friends in Missoula, we're not on the radio till 9 a.m. with our statewide hour in Missoula. We're on Billings, Bozeman, Butte, and then statewide on the app right now. Because if you want to know what legislative Democrats will do if they win their elections this November, look to Missoula County, because that's who is in charge of the Montana Democrat Party. That's who's calling the shots. They get their ideas out of California, and then they try to pass them in Montana. Missoula County is trying to raise property taxes by 3% again. This is what you do if you put Democrats in charge. They will constantly raise your taxes.
Securing America.
A new staff report for the House Judiciary Committee published Monday contains some potentially troubling information concerning encounters at the southern border. According to the report, between the fiscal years of 2021 to 2023, of the more than 250 illegal aliens on the terrorist watch list encountered by the Border Patrol, at least 99 have been released into the country, and 34 more are still in DHS custody but not yet removed from the U.S. The report also states that during that same time period, Border Patrol agents came into contact with people on the terrorist watch list from 36 countries, and that thousands of migrants have entered the U.S. from countries that could potentially present national security risks, including more than 2,000 from Afghanistan, over 500 from Iran, and more than 33,000 from China. The report claims immigration judges also provided bond to at least 27 illegal migrants on the terror watch list. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. A mix of clouds and sunshine develops this afternoon, as we'll see developing showers and storms this afternoon as well. Otherwise, high temperatures in the lower to middle 90s across the region. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures will head back down to the mid-50s in Bozeman to the low 60s in Billings. Highs near 80 are expected Wednesday. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Democracy 24.
The campaign shifts yet again as Vice President Kamala Harris hits the trail with her running mate. Her campaign says she'll rally in seven swing states, including Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, and Arizona, which all went blue 4 years ago. She's also hitting North Carolina, which narrowly went for former President Trump. Now, the former president sat down with 24-year-old streamer Aiden Ross on Monday, during which he criticized Harris.
Her policies have destroyed California. Her policies, when she was the district attorney, have destroyed San Francisco.
The Harris campaign sent out a statement saying Philadelphia voters rejected former President Trump in 2020, so sending his vice presidential pick, J.D. Vance, to the area won't smooth things over. Separately, it's primary day today in four states, and squad member Cori Bush in Missouri is fighting to keep her seat as she faces fellow Democrat St. Louis County Prosecutor Wesley Bell. He is backed by a pro-Israel PAC that has spent millions of dollars in ads against Bush. Jessica Grossman from Fox News.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I'm getting a kick out of reading some of this, Trump rally preview coverage that's coming, you know, from some of the newspapers and some of the TV stations, because I've seen a couple stories now. There were, I think, the Bozeman Daily Comical. The Bozeman Daily Comical. They had a write up, and it was about some Montana State University students are already on campus, and will they be going to the Trump rally? You're dang right they'll be going to the Trump rally. But anyway, I'm sure some of these kids and some adults, they will go to the Trump rally, or try to go to the Trump rally at least, because God, why not? I mean, I remember I saw some friends at the when Barack Obama was in Billings back in 2008. And they're like, I don't support the guy, but hey, he's a presidential candidate. He's speaking. Why wouldn't I go watch and listen? And so I can respect that. And I think, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that are like, wow, I'm going to go see this guy firsthand in person. And so I'm sure there's definitely a few that are like, hey, I'm going to go see what he has to say. And what's going to be very interesting, I would love to talk to these people before they go to the Trump rally and then after they go to the Trump rally. Because, man, this man has the ability to just connect with people. Just, you can just tell that this man loves this country and is fighting for the future of this country, because you can just tell by the way he connects with people out there in the crowd, with real everyday people. So it'd be very interesting, I think, if some of these folks were honest, to give their honest assessment. Some of it's been kind of funny to watch, though. I've seen some of these quotes and some of these interviews where they're like, well, I don't really like some of the stuff he says. I don't really like some of the stuff that he tweets. But, I'm going to go watch. I'm going to go see what it's all about. And it's like, oh, come on, man. You can come out of the closet and let everybody know that you're a supporter of Donald J. Trump, that you are scared to death of what the Kamala crash economy is going to do. You have seen the train wreck that's been the last 4 years of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and John Tester. But you just don't want to tell all your buddies, in downtown Bozeman or downtown Billings. You don't want to tell them that, you're going to vote to make America great again. Because at this point, why the freak not, given everything going on in this country right now, right? But it's really funny. Well, I don't know. But I'm going to go just to listen in. Just come out of the closet. Come out of the closet and just tell people, yeah, You're going to vote for Donald Trump, and you're going to vote against this flip-flop, flat-top, two-faced John Tester because their policies have been a train wreck. But if you're just not at that point where you're willing to come out of the closet, that's all right. Just vote the right way in November. Just vote the right way in November. See, now, if I was talking about a certain Billings Gazette reporter right there, oh, there'd be some whiny tweets. He called me gay. Nobody called you gay. And even if they did, why, you know, you guys are constantly pushing the LGBTQ agenda. Why would that be such a bad thing? Remember the whole Chick-fil-A story? All right, let me see here. There's a couple of things that I figured I better scribble down a couple of these thoughts here this morning. Speaking of the presidential race, let me see. This was one thought that I scribbled down. So as you heard in the Fox News update at the top of the hour, Kamala and her crazy policies, now she's looking for a running mate. Apparently later today, she is going to announce who her running mate will be. And apparently, at least all the news reports are saying that it's coming down to two guys. This crazy Tim Walz guy in Minnesota. Boy, if you liked wearing masks and you liked shutting down schools, you wanted to keep your kids out of sports and keep your kids out of school, but Tim Walz is the guy for you. He's one of those crazy DFL nut jobs out of Minnesota. And then the other guy they're saying is Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. Now, remember, a lot of folks in the Democrat Party base are saying, oh, you can't pick Josh Shapiro. He's Jewish. And then now they're attacking him. Well, he had this college paper 30 years ago where he said some things about a two-state solution. And it's like, well, yes, some other Democrats have had those same policies, as Charlie Hurt pointed out. Some other Democrats have the same policies, but you're not saying they're disqualified. You're just saying that the Jewish guy is disqualified. Once again, your anti-Semitism is showing. But here's the point that I want to make about this Governor Josh Shapiro. Just because he's Jewish, you know, sorry, liberal media and Democrats, some of them believe that just because he's Jewish, that makes him bad. That makes him a bad candidate. No, just because he's Jewish doesn't make him bad. But here's the other point that I want to make. Just because he's Jewish doesn't mean he's a moderate either. So you can't go to both extremes here, all you Billy Joel fans. I don't know why you go to extremes. Just because he's Jewish, breaking news, Democrats, doesn't make him bad. But just because he's Jewish also doesn't make him moderate either. This guy is a far left wacko. Now, he's not the, you know, the pro Hamas jumping up and down, you know, with the checkered scarf left wing wacko. But he is a left wing wacko nonetheless. Anyway, that was one thought that I had this morning. There were a couple others. One question I have about Kamala Harris's husband impregnating the babysitter. There's one question I have just about this story. All right, and then we'll talk unrealized gains, taxing that, and more.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, wolves are back at our headlines this morning, and with more information about Colorado's latest wolf kill, here's our network's Rachel Gable.
Since April, the Farrell Ranch has lost 7 cattle to wolves. Between July 17th and 28th, they lost 9 sheep, and the search is on for an additional 5 missing sheep or their carcasses. The sheep attacks, Nellie Farrell says, all occurred in broad daylight near the house and barns.
It just keeps happening, and we've done every non-lethal option. I mean, we have dogs, we have flashing lights, we make sounds. We have people working, construction workers here. It's kind of the ranch headquarters lately. And every attack on our sheep has been in broad daylight.
The rancher said CPW's wolf management plan allows for the removal of chronically depredating wolves, though that is not happening.
I think what's frustrating for us is we've done every legal action. We've written letters. We've talked to people. We call the game wardens. We let them know when things happen. We've tried to have an open relationship, but they wrote it. They said that if there are depredating wolves, chronic depredation, that they would get rid of these wolves. We have however many sheep that have died. We've had yearlings die. They're obviously depredating. So what is the government going to do to take care of these wolves? They're the ones who wrote it. They're the ones who said it. And they're the ones who weren't following the rules. And that's frustrating.
This is the same ranch where in June, the sheep fled a pasture and were huddled in the driveway. A wolf trotted through the pasture behind them toward the rancher, who yelled to spook the predator away and managed to record a video as the wolf turned and moseyed away. For the Fence Post Magazine and Western Ag Network, I'm Rachel Gable.
All right, thanks a lot, Rachel. And keep in mind, it hasn't even been a year yet since wolves were introduced in Colorado, and the number of livestock depredations keep adding up. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Hello, this is Bill Coffey, CEO of Stockman Bank. When you bank with Stockman, your money stays in Montana to work for you and your community. You will be working with your fellow Montanans who understand our unique way of life. From our executive leadership to our frontline employees, our team is almost 900 strong. We know firsthand what it's like to live and work in our great state because it's our home too. We are Montanans serving Montanans. Stockman Bank, member FDIC.
Join the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. NCBA is the oldest and largest national cattle industry organization working to defend your interests in Washington, D.C. And there are big benefits to being a member. You get news you can use in the National Cattlemen, email updates in the NCBA Beef Bulletin, plus big discounts only for NCBA members. Join by calling 866-233-3872 or online at ncba.org.
Well, the Congressional Budget Office has released an official cost estimate of the House Agriculture Committee's farm bill and says it's $33 billion over budget and fails to pay for a large increase in crop payments. However, House Agriculture Chair G.T. Thompson says if the CBO doesn't change its mind, he'll rely instead on the House Budget Committee to override the CBO. Now, the CBO's cost estimate, which was released late last week, creates a very large obstacle to passing a farm bill that Congress is already some 10 months late in passing. That's a look at your Daybreak Ag Report for the Western Ag Network. I'm Russell Nimitz.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, it's the new woke, isn't it, Tim and Savage? It's the new woke. Tim and Savage sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Not picking Shapiro checks multiple boxes for the Democrats. They can be racist and practice religious discrimination at the same time. Will she pick Shapiro? That'll be interesting. Yeah, if they pick Shapiro, I don't know. I'll have to get John Jackson's take on this here later this morning. He's a retired federal law enforcement officer. So Chicago, that's where the Democrat National Convention is going to be. And I don't know. I think the biggest reason that they don't want Shapiro to be the running mate is they are so afraid of their own Democrat Party base that will burn down Chicago, that will cause all sorts of violence in Chicago. By picking Shapiro, do they increase the likelihood of a bloody August in Chicago? I know it's already been bloody because of the Democrats' pro-crime policies, but I'm talking about the political convention that's about to be underway here. What is it, next week, the week after? I couldn't even tell you. Do they lessen the likelihood of a violent summer in Chicago for the convention by not picking Shapiro? I wonder if that's the real question they're looking at here. Anyway, the Trump war room
shared this, you know, given the bad economic news that continues to flood in, and the global financial market borderline meltdown that we saw over the past 48 hours, the Trump War Room releasing this Kamala crash montage via X.
Here we go. Look at them go down. What some would call history in the making.
Scary. Don't say that.
We have never been down 1,000 points ever, not even intraday on the Nasdaq.
Bidenomics is working. It's working.
The stock market just taking a big old nosedive this morning.
Dow Jones is down about 1,010 points.
That is called Bidenomics.
The Dow fell more than 600 points Friday on a weaker than expected jobs report.
5%. Meta, 6%. Amazon, 6%. Apple, 9% down.
Bidenomics is working.
Fears of a recession began after Friday's disappointing July jobs report.
Bidenomics is working.
A rise like that is historically a sign that a recession is imminent.
This is Bidenomics.
What you're seeing right now, the stock market, is what Americans have been feeling for the last 3 years. It's just a manifestation of it right now.
All that is called Bidenomics.
Yeah, was that Charles Payne there just before Kamala said, all that is Bidenomics? Was that Charles Payne? Man, he made such a great point. The pain that the stock market is feeling in the last 48 hours is the pain that Americans have been feeling in our pocketbooks for the last 3 years because of their failed policies. But of course, you'll feel it again with your 401k and more. The question I have about Kamala husband impregnating the babysitter, I'll get to that next.
News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Vice President Kamala Harris expected to announce her running mate today, and Reuters reports it's down to two governors, Tim Walz of Minnesota and Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania. The two will hold an event in Philadelphia today, whoever she picks, before going on a multi-state campaign swing.
J.D. Vance, interestingly, will then follow essentially Harris and the new running mate through at least Thursday, with the stops in Michigan, Wisconsin, and North Carolina.
That's Fox's Brian Yenis. But those campaign plans could be hampered by some wild weather courtesy of Tropical Storm Debbie. That's stalling out over Georgia and the Carolinas. Fox Weather's Mike Seidel of Palms, South Carolina.
And the storm is going to come offshore and sit basically off South Carolina, may come back in Thursday and Friday, and that's why we have a real issue.
At least five storm-related deaths have been reported. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, so as I mentioned on the show yesterday, Kamala Harris's husband, the potential first gentleman, Douglas Emhoff, he came out and apparently admitted publicly that he had an affair with his first against his first wife, and he impregnated their babysitter. That was the story that we shared with you yesterday. Now, I don't think many of us are going to go clutching our pearls and pretend to be all shocked by this. Look, in the end of the 1990s. I was there while the Clinton impeachment proceedings were taking place. So, you know, that was my freshman year of college. And I remember telling people at the time, it's like, look, you should be going after the Clintons over national security failures and the transfer of nuclear technology to China and Hillary Clinton's campaign fundraising that benefited as a result. That's what you should be going after the Clintons for, because the American people, they don't care. They don't care what Bill Clinton did in the Oval Office. Now, you might say, well, okay, I get it. But the American people didn't care. They don't care. Look, our whole culture is just a train wreck since the 1960s. It just, our culture is what it is. So nobody's going to be clutching their pearls over what he did or did not do with his, well, you know what, several years ago. But this is the question that I have. Maybe it's been documented. Maybe it's been reported here somewhere. This is the question that I have. So according to news reports, Kamala Harris's husband got the babysitter pregnant when he had an affair. And according to these news reports, the babysitter that he impregnated did not keep the baby. Now, we don't know if she, you know, gave the baby to a nice family for adoption or if she had an abortion, we don't know. Those are the two things that I've heard. If you've seen more to the story, please tell me. Shoot me a credible link if you have it to go with as well. But this is the one question that I have. Did Emhoff pressure her to not keep the baby? Did Emhoff pressure her if she, we don't know if she had an abortion or not, but if so, did Imhoff pressure her to have an abortion? To, shall we say, bury the evidence of his affair with the babysitter. Now, somebody might be saying, well, Aaron, you just said we're not clutching pearls over what might have happened. And, you know, our society is a total train wreck since the 60s, especially. I get it. But my point here is this. Why do liberal men like this guy, why are they so pro-abortion? And even more importantly than that, the point that I think needs to be made is that one of the biggest scandals about the abortion mill industry in America is the fact that predatory men oftentimes pressure, intimidate, threaten, and coerce vulnerable women into having an abortion. And then they have to carry that pain around for the rest of their life. And these predatory men, when are they ever held accountable for threats and coercion and intimidation? And that's why I think it's an important question.
Montana State News Network.
Good morning, I'm Dennis Bragg. If you have been listening to Montana Radio 75 years ago this morning, you would have been hearing the first reports of the terrible tragedy that had killed 13 firefighters in an inferno at Mann Gulch. Even now, three quarters of a century later, it's a tale of pain, but also heroism and service. 12 of the men were smoke jumpers who were overwhelmed when the fire exploded to more than 3,000 acres. At a ceremony in Helena Monday, Governor Gianforte and other speakers noted it was the start of fire science that has saved countless lives since.
Each fatality is a tragedy that carries painful lessons with it. But these lessons have helped keep thousands of other firefighters alive for the last 75 years.
A Forest Service honor guard performed the memorial in front of an audience that included 80 of the men's friends and families who traveled from all over the country to attend. Montana's retail landscape continues to shift with another bargain store pulling out of the state. Jason Laird has the story.
A national discount retail chain is closing up shop at two locations in Montana. Big Lots says that it's going to be shutting down its Helena and Gray Falls locations, but didn't provide an exact closure date. The stores are currently offering their items at even bigger discounts to try and clear out the shelves before the doors close for good. This happened after the company announced plans to close dozens of locations across the country. It's unclear if the Big Lots location in Billings will be impacted. For the Montana State News Network, I'm Jason Laird.
Montana firefighters will be assessing the impact of those big thunderstorms that rolled across parts of the state overnight. There were numerous reports of new lightning strikes and smokes, but some areas did see heavy rain, especially in western Montana. There were 12 new fire starts across the state yesterday.
For more on these stories and others around Montana, download the Montana State News app or visit montanastatenews.com.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you are thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, Tim and Billings. What do we call it, Tim? Is it the Babysitter's Club? Don't tell Mom the Babysitter's. Whoa, is it the Babysitter's Club here now? So Kamala's husband impregnated the babysitter. And yeah, I think it's an important question. Did he pressure her to get rid of the baby? I mean, I think that's a fair question, especially in light of their radical abortion policy that they're trying to push. That would, anyway, but Tim and Billings, Dr. Jill, Dr. Jill Biden was the babysitter to Joe's kids. That's right. Joe married the babysitter. I totally forgot about that one. Tim, thanks for the reminder. Tim almost made it on Bongino yesterday. He was on hold, but some guy that called into Bongino went on too long, so Tim and Billings didn't make it onto the show. I know. I was like, dang it. I was getting ready to try to listen to Tim and Billings, but then Bongino's show was over. That's why I know some people, it's like, man, I would love to have some of our callers on for much longer amounts of time. But then the problem is if I go too long with Ken and Great Falls or anybody, then it's like then there's less time for you to potentially get on the show. So that's why sometimes it seems like we're very fast movers around here on Montana Talks. 406-294-0970. The number for you, let's see, who do we got? Tom in Billings. Tom, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Little frustrated this morning. You know, I did 18 combat missions during the Iraq war at a UAN Al-Asad air base. Why is the U.S. not retaliating? Why is John Tester not, if he's going to be a moderate, why is he not firing against Iran and revoking all the money that this country has given to him with the lame duck Biden and Harris? They should not be shooting at that air base. They dropped missiles in there and wounded American soldiers that I served on the same ground that they did. And you know what? We should immediately retaliate against Iran.
Yeah, I flew into Al-Asad when I went to Iraq back in the day, and yeah, this story really isn't getting that much attention, does it? Doesn't seem to be right. I mean, if this happened, if Donald Trump was president right now and this happened, U.S. troops injured after Iran fires rockets at our compound, at our base. But, yeah, you expect Tehran John Tester to fire back? He's the one who's been funding. He's been funding the Iranians for the last 12 years. He supported the Iranian nuclear deal. I mean, I forget who made the point earlier this morning. I think it was on Fox and Friends. But Iran, under the Trump years, Iran was basically, they were almost going broke. They were not able to you know, they were severely being undermined. And then, you know, Joe Biden, John Tester and crew, they open up the floodgates of cash to Tehran, and they've gone on this global killing spree ever since.
Right. Flip top, flat top, John Tester. Let's put Tim Sheehy in there. Him and Ryan Zinke will go in there and take care of business.
Man, I would tell you, I would love to hear from Tim Sheehy this morning because specifically when it comes to Iran, he has got such a powerful message on that front. Tom, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. For those of you who haven't heard the news, yes, U.S. forces attacked in Iraq. Yeah, we still have forces in Iraq. Some of you may not, you might even be surprised by that. An attack on a military base in western Iraq leaves several Americans injured. Here's Trey Yingst with the latest on an increasingly violent Middle East, all coming out of Tehran, of course.
Overnight, an Iran-backed militia targeted a base in western Iraq that houses American troops. Now, according to reports, multiple U.S. service members were injured in that attack, and we are waiting to get an update on their conditions. The attack marked the 219th time that U.S. forces were targeted in the Middle East since early October. And the timing of this incident that occurred at the Al-Asad Air Base in western Iraq couldn't have come at a more tense time. President Biden was at the White House being updated on the expected Iranian attack that is planned against Israel.
All right. Now, I think Florida Congressman and Green Beret Mike Waltz, he was on with Sean Hannity last night alongside Stephen Miller, prominent Trump advisor Steve Miller. Let's see. I think they were talking about the southern border, but let me see if Michael Waltz also brought up this. Actually, I don't know if the news would have come out by the time they were on Hannity. I'm trying to think when that news broke. But either way, here you go. Thanks to our producer, Travis, for snagging this clip from Hannity's show last night.
Joining us now, former senior White House advisor to President Trump, Stephen Miller, along with Florida Congressman Michael Waltz. Congressman, I've been saying it's not if, it's when. It's going to happen. I mean, it's not when, it's if. I keep missing it. It's going to happen. In other words, they have allowed terrorists from Iran, from Syria, from Egypt, from Afghanistan, from Venezuela, from China, from Russia, into this country. We have terrorists in this country plotting, planning, and scheming. It's a matter of when. Am I wrong?
You're absolutely right, Sean. And what really blows my mind is to see Chris Wray, the FBI director, come to Congress repeatedly behind closed doors and ring the alarm bells. And I tell him every time, don't cover your rear end by coming to us. Drive over to DHS, drive over to the White House, and tell them to close the damn border. Period. But Sean, let's just add to the stats in this in Jim Jordan's report, 2,100 Afghans, 33,000 Chinese, 541 Iranians, 520 Syrians, over 3,100 Uzbeks, and we know the ISIS smuggling ring has sent over 400 people in, eight of whom were rolled up in three different cities plotting and planning an attack on the eve of the Pulse nightclub hit. You're right, we're going to get hit. We're all watching it happen in real time, and the blood is on Biden's hands, is on Harris's hands, and is on Mayorkas's hands. And I mean, it is just the most frustrating thing I've ever experienced in my professional career. We're defunding everything we can, but we've got to stop it. And I don't know what else to do except get Trump elected.
All right. And the blood is on John Tester's hands as well. But that raises another important point here. So Tehran is behind this attack that left several American troops injured in Iraq and this attack on Al-Asad Air Base. But what could Tehran do inside America, on American soil? How many of their operatives have infiltrated this country in just the last 3 years alone with our wide open southern border? But the story that they were referring to there, this was a Fox News report that came out yesterday. Let me go to my my Twitter here. I thought I printed up this story, but I must not have here. Let's see. I shared this story. Golly, let me go back a few here. This was from FoxNews.com, where basically, you know, according to new data that's come out, they're showing how several on the terror watch list weren't just caught at our southern border or our northern border as well. Here we go. FoxNews.com. I shared this 16 hours ago. Scathing report reveals Biden-Harris administration released dozens of migrants on the terror watch list into the U.S., so-called migrants. So these are folks that are on the terror watch list that were released into the United States. Let's see. Bill Malusian has that report here. Oh, hold on. Now my computer in the background is making a bunch of noise. All right, let me. There we go. That's another phony John Tester campaign commercial as I pulled up that FoxNews.com story. It's got that phony backcountry hunter and angler Democrat front group operative. I'm just a normal hunter. Oh, whatever, man. You're so full of BS. Maybe not 350 pounds of BS like John Tester, but full of BS nonetheless. All right, Bill Malusian had more. He covers not only the terror watch list angle, but just some of the other shocking revelations that are coming out about how the Biden-Harris administration is allowing violent criminals to remain in the U.S.
More than 250 people on the FBI terror watch list have been caught trying to cross the southern border illegally during the first 3 years of the Biden-Harris administration. Now some new startling data. According to DHS records, the agency provided to the House Judiciary Committee, 99 illegal immigrants on the terror watch list were released into the U.S. after being apprehended at the southern border between fiscal year 2021 and fiscal year 2023. And another 34 terror watch list suspects are still in DHS custody.
And apparently they also just captured a Colombian drug leader. This Colombian drug lord was captured in College Park, Maryland. Isn't that where the University of Maryland's at? Go Terps! This guy had already been busted, apparently, by Border Patrol officials, and the Biden-Harris administration released the Colombian drug lord into the United States. No joke. I'll get to that story right after this.
the truth, and nothing but. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You want to buy chicken breast by the pound? It's up 24.2%. Butter is up 24.1%. You like soft drinks? They're up 20%. You like flour? Or you want to bake something? 26.7%. You want sugar? It's up 47.1%. Bacon up 20%. Uncooked white rice? That's up 30%, for crying out loud. You know, people would think, all right, well, you can eat fairly cheaply. I did when I was poor. Beans and rice. Well, it's not so cheap anymore. God forbid if you want steak, it's up 30%. You want coffee, God forbid you want a cup of coffee in the morning, that's up 36%. And I can go on and on and on. Essentials, bottom line, are up 3 to 5 times more. It's more expensive under Biden and Harris.
Keeping you on the straight path. Later today, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
You know, this is getting out of control. Our government is sinking $1 trillion in debt every 100 days. That's right, $1 trillion every 100 days. Do you want to bail the government out of debt? I didn't think so. I know I sure don't. This is Linda, and when I worry about the national debt, I turn to safe haven assets like gold and silver. And that's why we partnered with the highest rated gold company, Goldco. They have earned over 5,000 five-star reviews from tens of thousands of happy customers who diversified their savings with gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering you up to 8 years in free IRA fees plus 8% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, bonus silver, free gold, and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Safeguard your money with physical gold and silver before it's too late. That's what I did. Call 855-815-GOLD, 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815.
All dogs are unique. Your dog results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
There was an avalanche of negative media coverage when the Pentagon cut a deal with a mastermind of the 9/11 attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and two of his accomplices, under which they would stay at Gitmo. They'd been there for 2 decades. If they pleaded guilty, they would only get a life sentence and not face a trial where the outcome could be the death penalty. Families of 9/11 victims, New York City firefighters, the backlash was so great that you looked at it and you said to yourself, this could not stand. There's just no way. And so Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, the White House and President Biden had nothing to do with this, stepped in, withdrew the plea agreements, took over the case from a brigadier general. Why wasn't he involved from the beginning? Is this not one of the most important things going on in the world? In a minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah. Hey, thanks to Tom in Billings for that phone call. You know, you never know what we're going to talk about on the show. I've got a million things I could talk about here, but that's just case in point how your phone calls drive the conversation. Let's see, where do we go next here? We got to go where I told you we were going to go next. I so frequently get distracted and then move on to something else here. Let's see, we were talking about the U.S. troops attacked and Iran being behind that. And then we talked about the terrorists, terror watch list individuals who were captured, who were busted and then released into America by the Biden-Harris tester regime. God, what was the story? Oh, yeah, the Colombian drug leader. That's right. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not just folks on the terror watch list. Colombian drug leaders get released into the United States by this regime as well.
A Colombian fugitive wanted for homicide, arms trafficking, and aggravated theft charges was taken into custody in Maryland. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement said the 29-year-old fugitive, who was not named, had been in the U.S. illegally and was arrested in College Park. They say he was caught by Border Patrol in September 2023 after crossing into the U.S. illegally near San Ysidro, California, and was inexplicably ordered released on his own recognizance. House Judiciary Committee released a report Monday revealing the Biden-Harris administration had released dozens of migrants on terror watch lists into the United States. Sue Guzman, Fox News.
All right. Let's see. One of the stories that I wanted to get to here, I told you earlier there in the hour, if you were up already, there's three things that I scribbled down that I kind of wanted to mention at some point this morning. By the way, we'll have the phone lines open in the 7 o'clock hour as well. John Jackson joining us in the 8 o'clock hour, along with a very special guest, Lee Zeldin. Lee Zeldin, who a former New York congressman who nearly pulled off a win in the governor's race there. He's going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Normally, I won't schedule guests in that 8 o'clock hour because we got John Jackson here and it's a fast-moving hour. But I thought, you know what? We had so much fun during the Laura Loomer conversation last week, having John Jackson sidekicking for that one. And I was like, yeah, why don't we have John Jackson sidekick with Lee Zeldin with us later this morning as well. Plus, hey, maybe John can stick around for the 9 o'clock hour too. So we'll sneak in some extra time that way. But there were three things that I kind of scribbled down here. You know, the first one was, okay, the Democrat base is saying, well, this Governor Josh Shapiro guy, he can't be the candidate. He can't be the VP pick because he's Jewish. And so it's like, I don't know why we have to say this in 2024. If I don't know why you would ever have had to say this, but just because he's Jewish, Democrats, doesn't make him bad. But the point that I wanted to make is it also doesn't make him moderate either. He's a radical left winger, just like this Walls character and Kamala and Tester and the rest of them. I already talked about Doug Emhoff and getting the babysitter pregnant. But there was another idea that came to mind. There was a guy on Fox and Friends First at like, I was probably like 3:40, 3:50 this morning, Montana time. And what was his name? His name, let's see. Oh, Brian Brenberg. He does a show on Fox Business, but he was talking about, Kamala Harris. And if Kamala Harris gets elected and this Kamala crash in the stock market and the Kamala crash with the economy. And he said something about taxes on unrealized gains that stood out to me. And I want to tie it in to the constant race baiting by the Democrats. I want to tie it into critical race theory and how they keep pushing that. Think about it. Taxing unrealized gains. They want to tax you for money you haven't even made yet. Kind of like how they want to punish white kids for success.